Welcome, everyone. This is Scott Carley in Seattle, and this is the Clean Network call for April the 15th, 2014. So is everyone back on?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Very good. I just wanted to make sure that I just didn't announce that to myself. So, as we normally do, we have announcements at the beginning of our call. Are there any announcements to pass on?
Well, it looks like Mark put it up at the top here, but this is Kristen Poppleton at the Will Steger Foundation, and perfect timing-wise, we are holding a webinar tomorrow evening focused on the National Climate Assessment.
Perfect.
And if you're in the Google Doc, you can actually click on the hyperlink there, and it'll take you to registration, which it's free. You just need to register so we can send you the link. And we'll be featuring Minda Barbeco, will be talking about the National Climate Assessment, and then we actually will be talking about a few resources that help bring this into your place, your region, highlighting the southeastern United States through the Pine Mat Project, and then we'll just briefly mention our own here, Minnesota's changing climate. So I encourage you all to check it out.
Great. Thanks, Kristen. Just a reminder to everyone, we're tracking our agenda and taking notes sort of collectively on this Google Doc. And it was in Mark's email from yesterday, and I also put the same link up on our webpage. So I think everyone should be able to get access to it very quickly.
Scott, I'd like to make an announcement also. This is Bonnie.
Certainly. Please go ahead, Bonnie.
Thank you. This Thursday is the last edition of Ask NICE. That's a web version that's available, a web version of a professional development that's available online. And you would go to nice.larc.nasa.gov to get the information. I put that link up next to my name in the Google Doc.
Excellent.
So you can connect just by going to that page and clicking, and you'll be able to watch. And it is a summary of what we know and how we know that information about climate change. Margaret Mooney will be doing that.
Okay.
So I think that'll be a great session.
And just so you guys, if you're not tracking it, the National Climate Assessment webinar that Will Steger is doing with NTSC has been prominently posted on the climate.gov website for quite some time. Hopefully that will help you with your traffic, as also the NICE webinars as well.
Great. Thanks, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Frank.
Yeah, and this is Emily at USGCRP. If you could, when folks schedule these things, if you could also make sure you always drop me a note so that I can make sure they get onto the NCANET calendar as well, and any announcements to our partners.
Okay, thank you. That was Emily.
I didn't know that this one was happening.
Okay. Was that Emily asking? Should I send it to you, Emily?
Yeah, that was Emily.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'll put my email address in the Google Doc.
Very good. Having this live Google Doc is proving to be quite helpful for us all, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We'll maybe try to continue to do that, too. This is very good.
I just looked, Kristen, there were a bunch of page views for your web seminar, so hopefully that helped you.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I'm looking at the Google Analytics. There are quite a few web seminar page views for the National Climate Assessment webinar.
Great.
So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, we've got, I think we're up to 60 or so registered, which usually means about half that, but they're from all over, so... including Brazil and India and Bangladesh. I don't know if they'll show up, but...
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I know.
You're doing it, what, in the evening, Kristen?
Yeah, we do it in the evening because our target audience is educators, so it's 6:30 Central.
So in India, that will be... actually into the morning, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. We do a lot of seminars with folks in Japan and Indonesia and Australia, so we usually have meetings in continental U.S. sort of in the evenings, and that catches them the next morning and works out
cool.
just fine. Yeah.
Cool.
There's a lot of Pacific there that we don't have a lot of people in, so we can kind of get away with that, not covering time zones in the middle of the night. So very good. Any other announcements?
Speaking of different parts of the country and world, I've just been delighted with the press coverage yesterday of the IPCC Sunday announcement. And I'd like to know if local newspapers have sort of stuck with the message of the cost of fighting warming will be modest. Has that permeated the press other places as well as Boulder, Colorado?
Just a little bit here in Seattle area, and I don't track the local press so much, but I've actually been a little discouraged that this hasn't been bigger news, but I guess there's so many other things going on that other people think are more important than this. But any other response to that?
Well, this is Minda. I'm in Northern California, and I read the local news pretty religiously, and I haven't seen anything, which is interesting because you would think Northern California would be sort of right for this.
Yeah.
But I've only seen it in the New York Times, not any of the local papers here.
Yeah.
And this is Curry in Boulder, and I'm admittedly have not read my local paper in the past couple of days.
I have,
but
that's what
I'm looking right now. Yeah, I don't
see
anything.
It was in the Boulder paper, it was a half-page coverage, and then it was featured on the front page of the newspaper as well.
Oh, that's great. Yesterday?
Yes, Monday.
Oh.
With the headline, Cost of Fighting Warming Modest, says UN Panel.
I don't know how to say this nicely, but I think the web strategy or the new strategy for engaging on climate change is a very weak strategy compared mm-hmm. to the types of stuff we talk about much more often, where you have direct dialogue and you have intergenerational engagements and you have sustained high contact time with professionals who are trained style of engagement. While we're not scaled, I just find so much more value there. The media saturation is I just don't see it as a strong, powerful tool commensurate to the challenge
before.
This is
Karen. I totally agree with you, Frank, but it's the background noise in which we work, and so I was delighted to see some positive stuff that was highlighted in our local newspaper, because I think that all helps.
Yeah.
With the high quality, as you put it, real interaction that we all do.
Agreed. The only reason I say it, Karen, is because so much of our the stakeholders of this issue, they zoom right in on media as the approach.
Mm-hmm. No.
And everything goes up and down as a result of that or not, and you know. Sorry, a little soapbox.
We're in agreement.
Yeah, it's true. It's what we've all been exploring. Any other announcements? Hearing that, I'm going to turn things over to Mark, and I'm not sure who else is joining you in this.
Well, yeah, I'll get things started. Thank you, Scott. This is Mark McCaffrey with the National Center for Science Education, and welcome to our monthly discussion about the National Climate Assessment and how to try to take full advantage of the teachable moments as we unpack the assessment, which I understand is now due out on May 5th, right, Emily?
The week of May 5th.
The week of May 5th,
yeah.
Okay. So in less than a month, several weeks from now, we'll finally get a chance to see the full Monty or whatever the expression is. The full report in all its glory, and I think we're pretty excited that there look to be very strong web resources that have tremendous potential for use in classrooms and informal science education settings. So before we get started here, we've got about 45 minutes today. If you need to mute your phone, you can hit star 6, and that will mute your phone. And if you haven't signed in on the Google Doc, please do so. Karen, I don't think you've signed in yet, but is there anybody else, anybody new on the call who's never been on a National Climate Assessment Clean call before?
Hi, yeah, this is Marianne. I'm actually calling. I actually learned about this call through Mark, you, and I'm actually from the EarthCal Institute, and I actually wanted to just sit in on the call to just hear the conversation, and I actually work more on international projects in terms of climate change, and I've done a few consultancies in terms of Article 6 for the UNFCCC, so I'm actually just really looking forward to hearing from everyone.
Great.
And this is Ilya. Yeah. And this is Ilya Fishoff. I know some of you. I work with Emily Cloyd at the U.S. Global Change Research Program. Nice to join you.
Great. Thanks, Ilya.
Great. I asked Ilya to sit in because I'm going to be sort of running in and out when I'm not able to talk, when I'm not actually on for talking.
Okay. Very good.
And this is Amanda from Habitat 7.
Thank you, Amanda.
Hi. And this is Sarah Howell from Young Voices on Climate Change.
Great. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks.
As I think a lot of you know, we also have regular calls every Tuesday at this time to discuss clean-related projects and updates and so forth. But the third Tuesday of every month for the past several months, we've been focusing on the National Climate Assessment. And so before I get an update from Emily and Amanda, you've been good enough to provide us an overview this morning of some of the work that you've been doing to develop the website for National Climate Assessment.
Yeah.
But before we go there, Minda, you wanted to talk a little bit about the webinars, and Frank, I know you and I talked about this yesterday as well.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think everyone already talked about the Will Steger webinar that's coming up tomorrow that I'm going to be involved in. And thanks, Emily, for pointing out that we can put it on the calendar. I didn't realize that, so that's terrific. And
I already put it on the calendar.
Great. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. NCSE is also going to be having a webinar at the end of the month on April 30th, and it's going to include myself talking about sort of educational pieces associated with the NCA or opportunities. I think at that point it'll be a little early. Emily's going to be on to talk about the NCA in general. Amanda, who's on the call right now from Habitat 7, is going to be on as well. And we're going to have someone from Climate Nexus talking about media outreach opportunities. So it's going to be less in a format of PowerPoints where people are just sort of talking through it and more in a format of Q&As with our audience members. We found that that's a little bit of a better way with our membership to keep them engaged. I can send out to the Clean Network when we have everything posted, and if people could share with the networks, that would be great. We really appreciate it.
And I think that once NCA is released, there's unlimited opportunities for more webinars, obviously. So if we can kind of coordinate that through Clean and make sure that Emily can put that up on the NCA website, Frank, I guess, would you be the liaison to get things up on climate.gov?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we need, you know, a home for a lot of these pieces. And we at the NCA outreach engagement workshop, we had said that I'm actually working on that page right now.
Okay.
So, you know, as I know, I'll post.
Great.
This is Karen
Holway.
And I'd like to... If I know in advance, I can post them on EE News, which reaches over 10,000 people, but it's only every 2 weeks or once a month, depending on the month. So I would need the announcement in well in advance.
Okay.
And that was Karen. I'm trying to keep up with it.
Yeah, Karen Holwig, H-O-L-L-W. I'll put my email address on the sign-in list.
Okay, that'd be great. And I'd like to explore the possibility of using NASA's Digital Learning Network for that. Frank, I think you know we just did an event recently with you all on focused on climate, and there'll be another one on the 22nd. And I'm wondering if that might be something we can continue to use, you know, that network to be able to engage people in discussion about the NCA.
So absolutely. And one of the things that you know, and Mark, let me know when you want to go there. But I think a lot of the organizations that are individuals represented on this call have existing digital engagement tools, whether they're the Digital Learning Network, existing webinar series, you know, and so on, that could be used to extend this, even if we all use the same resource or use it as the base and the modified. And then we can weave them together like we already are starting to do on a page and then syndicate that page widely. So it's a simple strategy, but I think a lot of us have worked out some of the simple tools that you know, NASA you're using, down at Langley, you guys are using Google, others are using GoToMeeting, others are using Webin, you know, and so on. It's a pretty simple strategy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That would be very effective, yeah.
Great. So I also wanted to mention this morning, before we turn to the nitty-gritty of the NCA, that I had some conversations at the National Science Teacher Association meeting with folks from NOAA about being able to tap the NOAA Climate Stewards Group, which is 200 active teachers and then another 100 teachers around the country that are kind of lurking in the background and tracking some of the discussions. Some of the climate steward teachers are super engaged, and we invited them onto this call today, but as far as I know, nobody was able to join us because, of course, a lot of them are actually teaching right now. But hopefully we'll be able to link up forces with them and find some synergies to get the word out through the teacher networks of the Climate Stewards Group. Does anybody have experience working with climate stewards or know any more than I do? I know just a little bit, but...
So, Mark, I'm on the advisory board for climate stewards. This is Frank Niepold over at NOAA. You know, I absolutely can make the connection between them, and in many ways they're ambassadors for climate education, like other networks have. So while they weren't able to join us today, you know, making that connection beyond the rollout phase is absolutely easy to do.
Okay.
I'm willing to be the liaison for that until Bruce Moravchek at NOAA engages.
Yeah. I know that Bruce and Peg Steffen weren't able to join us today, but hopefully next month they'll be able to come on board. So I think with that, why don't I turn it over to Emily to maybe walk through those slides that give us a little preview of NCA, and then Amanda, if you could give us a brief overview of the work that you folks at Habitat 7 have been doing, that would be helpful.
Yeah, of course. Sure. So mine will be pretty quick, and then we can have questions and discussion. So if you all click on the link that's there, that will take you to a set of slides that was presented at the engagement workshop in February. So just to sort of let you know what sorts of products will be coming out from the official assessment source. So everything, if you go to globalchange.gov, you will easily get to all of the assessment information because it will all be there. There will be a direct link to the National Climate Assessment and to other climate-related information. So for right now, we're just saying go to globalchange.gov. We may have a more specific URL ahead of the release, and we will certainly have, once the report is out, you'll be able to have direct links to all the pieces that you like. So on that website, you'll be able to access the full report, all 1,300 pages or whatever it might be. It will be in HTML format, and you can scroll through. Amanda's going to show you what that looks like in a few minutes. And you'll also be able to download a PDF of each of the chapters. Also on the website, you can go to the highlight document, which will be much shorter, on the order of about 100 pages. And the highlights document is essentially a compilation of a number of 2 to 4 page fact sheets that discuss the findings of the National Climate Assessment and the impacts on various regions. So you can get the highlights document, or you'll also be able to get just like the 2-page fact sheet that calls out the Northeast, or that calls out health impacts on human health or something like that, or one that has a nice spread of the 12 report findings. Also accessible from the website will be nice high-resolution graphics files. So if you want to be able to use those files, you can pull those, use them in presentations. I will note that there is a mixture of graphic types, so you should always check if you're putting things in your own publications. You should always check what the copyright status is, and that information will be available with the graphics files. And then also on the website, you can access the underlying traceable accounts, which are essentially the description of how the authors came to decide on what the key findings were for their chapters, what the evidence base was, what the confidence in that finding is, and so forth. So as I said, things will be available on the website in a nice, pretty HTML format, very nice to look at, easy to use, also available as PDFs for the full report, for the highlights, and then for individual chapter pullouts and things like that. And then we also plan to have a limited quantity of printed copies of the highlights report. So if you will be, if you would like to use the highlights report in a particular application, you'll be able to order that from us. It's free. I would not recommend ordering like 1,000, but we'll have a lot. So you'll be able to order that, and we can send you copies of the printed highlight document. So just a reminder, the NCA is written primarily for non-scientists, for sort of a someone who has a high school science education. It's organized around key messages, and the way that it's put forward is a sort of layered approach to allow users to find and use the information that they want to most use. So then if you look at the last slide in this presentation, you'll see some sample pages from the highlights, and these show you sort of what those handouts will actually look like. Because remember, in the highlights, it's essentially a compilation of all the handouts. So, so you can see there's an example page for Hawaii and the Pacific Islands. This is a regional fact sheet. So you'll see the regional fact sheets have the key messages about that region, and then they have compelling graphics drawn from that chapter or drawn from other parts of the report that are specific for that region. So, and then that last thing over sort of in the lower right corner is adaptation actions that are happening, and so the fact sheet tries to blend, you know, what are the key messages, what are the findings about what's happening with climate in this region, and then what are the responses that are taking place. And so obviously it's a little bit different for each region, but that gives you sort of what those fact sheets might look like without showing you the text. Behind that you'll see what the fact sheet for the report findings looks like. There are 12 report findings, so you'll see on this fact sheet, you know, the report finding itself is generally about a sentence, and then there's several more sentences underneath that describe it a little bit further and provide a little bit more flavor. And then there will also be in the highlights document longer 2 to 4 page spreads for each of the 12 report findings. So you know, for the report finding on health, there will be a separate pullout on health, if that is something that you're interested in pulling out. And those will look similar to what you see for the Hawaii, you know, a nice colorful pullout that has graphs, that has pictures, has important messages. So that's sort of what they'll look like. You'll see sort of in the very back the table of contents, and so you can see sort of what the pullouts will be if you squint a little. You know, one for each of the regions, for rural communities, for coasts, and then for each of the 12 report findings. And that's what we've got.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Emily. And just a reminder, if you have any background noise, if folks could mute your phones, that would be appreciated. And you can do that by hitting star 6. All right. So next, Amanda, would you be willing to give us a little overview of the work that you've been doing to help develop the website?
Of course. Yeah, sure. So there's where it says digital distribution strategy slides. Everyone can follow along there. Follow along, and I can walk you through that. My contact information is also written on the first page there, so please feel free to drop me an email if you have any questions. So for those of you who are at the NCNA Engagement Workshop, this will be similar to what Jamie covered in his presentation. So if you go down here just to page 3 there, when it says design justification, so the design justification for this site is that it's mobile first, and it will work across a variety of different devices, so desktops, tablets, laptops, smartphones, and the web page of the NCA report will adjust to fit a variety of different screens. Also, the website will be navigated through swiping rather than clicking, which is a departure from other government websites, and is more conducive across a variety of devices that are swipe-based, for example, like I said, your iPads, your iPhones. And there's really something for every viewer in the report. Scientists will be likely interested in the traceable accounts and the metadata, as Emily mentioned. There's, of course, information to aid policymakers, inform decision-making, and also information for the casual users, which is what the report is mostly directed at, to become greater informed about climate change and learn how it will impact their communities. So there's a lot of content in the report, 1,400 pages, some 300 graphics, 105 key messages. And the goal for Habitat 7 was to create a website that would be easily accessible, engaging, and draw in all kinds of different communities and groups. So I'll explain the communication strategy that I've been working on, but first I'll just do a brief walkthrough with the format of the website and the digital NCA product. So if you go down to the fourth page, I believe, here, yep. So this is the main page for the website. So on the left, you have the highlights document. So you can, as Emily mentioned, you can go in there and explore the 12 key findings, or alternatively, you can access the full report. And the page below is an example of the chapter header, the key finding. So in the back, you see in the background, you see the San Francisco Bridge there. That is a moving background. So there's many different moving backgrounds across the website, which give it more of an interactive feel. And the arrow at the bottom of the page, that is the swipe feature. So these are still images, so it's difficult to show. But if you were to swipe upwards, you'd just be moving down on a consistently scrolling page. And then there's different features at the top as well. You can download a chapter. You can search for something particular in the report. You can click on one of the climate science topic regions, response strategies, or you can go back to the main homepage as the page we were on previously if you click the globe on the left there. And then if we go down one page to page 6, this is an example of a key message. It's all written in Latin at this point because the content isn't available yet. And on the right side there, we have where we have circled, there's a link to Facebook, to Twitter, and also URL. So you can extract this key message independently from the rest of the report and link it to either any different social media portal. So you're not necessarily putting the whole report on your Facebook, let's say, but a particular aspect, which is of greatest relevance. And then below the key message there, you see the links for metadata as well and traceable accounts, which will be of interest to
scientist, most likely, as I mentioned. And then you can also download this in and of itself. below is an example as well on the seventh page of a graphic interactive, also shareable. There will be several different graphics in the report, very interactive. If you swipe or scroll over it, different features will pop up. And then on page 8, we have the different content areas. And this is all the different regions in the report, all the different chapters, which will be of interest to different communities of practice. And just going below to page 8, no, sorry, to page 9 now, the digital distribution strategy. So to explain a little bit of what I have been doing, so we at Habitat 7 created a master list of some 600 different organizations that pertain to different sectors and different regions of the report. And I then went through the NCHF report and extracted different pieces of content that would be relevant to these organizations. So, for example, an asthma association would likely be interested in the area of the human health chapter that discusses the increased incidence of airborne pollutants. So we reached out to these organizations with the specifics of the health chapter and information that was of greatest relevance to them. And we did this across organizations from different regions, different sectors, informing them about the NCA and providing them with a document that's similar to this presentation that outlined the sharing features of the NCA, how you could use this information, and also answer any questions that they may have. So when the site goes live and we have our URL, we're planning on once again contacting these organizations with direct links so they can share the content on their webpage, on their social media, through their newsletters, listservs, et cetera. So that being said, if any of you have any organizations that would be interested in the report, I encourage you to reach out to them in the next few weeks that we have before the launch. And I'd also be happy to send along resources as well that you can share with them, something like this that shows what the site will look like and how they can share it with their network. So yeah, if you're interested in that, please shoot me an email and I'd be happy to send that along.
Great. Thank you, Amanda. And I suspect some of us have questions, and I have one. Maybe we
of
can
course.
Get to both you and Emily. The draft NCA didn't really have any kind of educational component to it, or they kind of mentioned education in passing, and some of us did respond to the draft suggesting that there's a lot of teachable moments and opportunities to use the NCA in educational contexts. Are any of the organizations that you've been engaging with education related?
So, for example, myself, I've not specifically reached out to education organizations, but to networks that have different educational people within their network. So, for example, I'll be leading a webinar with Green Faith Fellows, and there's a variety of different religious leaders and educational leaders within that network that I'll be speaking to. But specifically education, not so much, because I did it sort of more based on chapters, so health professionals, and there isn't an explicit chapter on education. So indirectly, I suppose.
Okay. And what about you, Emily? Do you have any sense of whether education is maybe a little bit more integrated in than it was in the draft?
Well, I mean, just remember that the report itself is an assessment of the science. So,
right.
You know, it's not the report is not putting out, you know, basically what to do with the information.
Yeah.
So I think the way that the report was designed was so that it would be easier to use for educators and for others, but it's because it's a report on science rather than a report on what is being done around climate change in the U.S.,
right.
it won't speak to that.
Okay,
but that's the same. That's the same for the asthma example. This is the same exact scenario. It wasn't written. It's a science assessment, but its applicability for educators is just as valuable as it is for people who care about any other issue. And, you know, so, I mean, I think that, you know, the Education Affinity Group is Mark, is the, where that's going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen from the NACADAC, mm-hmm. and it's not going to happen from the NCA net at large, except
right.
for this group. That's yeah. where this is going to happen.
Right. And so I think a lot of our NCA net partners that have an interest in education, you guys are the ones who are making that step from here's the report to this is where it fits into things that are already happening.
Right. Okay. Great.
So can I tag on to that, because I need to get a better – this is Karen Holwig. I need to have a better understanding of who's going to send me information and how I'm going to access it to be able to distribute it to the environmental education community across the country. Is that going to be done through the Clean Network email, or how are we all going to get the kind of information that you obviously are doing major outreach efforts to the asthma community for?
So I can send, if you contact me directly, I can send you a PDF document or send it to Mark.
No, I'm asking you how you can, not how we can contact you, but how you will disseminate the information to this whole community that's on the phone now that represents hundreds and thousands of educators.
So you'll get the information through your affiliation with NCANet. If you are not a member of the larger NCANet group, I would encourage you to join it. You can also get, I put in a link to the USGCRP and NCA newsletters. That will be that, and then a message to NCANet will be sort of the first blast to say, here it is, this is where you go to get the information, you know, click on this link, go here, go there, wherever, to know that it is available.
Right. I think that's really part of the reason for this group to exist, though, Karen, is that you know, we set up this education affiliate group over a year ago, and we've been, you know, waiting with bated breath, so to speak, for the actual report to come out. And once it's out, certainly a month from now, we should be able to have a much clearer idea of the educational opportunities. You know, I think this mention of traceable accounts, which has been mentioned today, and, you know, I think that Emily and Amanda were indicating that it's largely of interest to scientists, but it's also obviously of interest to science educators and mm-hmm. potentially students. You know, they, both teachers and students will need their hand held in a way to recognize how they can drill down from kind of a general story about what's happening with climate based on the research right down into the data. So, again, there's going to be enormous opportunities, and we need to tease them out. One way that we've been thinking about that is certainly to develop these regional nodes and come up with strategies at the regional level, since there's going to be chapters for each of these regions, and we've already identified some of the people who are willing to help flesh these out. And going back to our Google Doc, you know, we have those regions identified and some names as placeholders there. Hopefully this time next month, most of those folks can join us. I'll be following up with them and maybe pestering them a little bit. But down towards the bottom of the page here is kind of a template that we developed back in March with the title, What is Included? And, you know, one of the first bullet points is start with stories, and the National Climate Assessment will have a lot of stories, case studies, you know, kind of regional views, as well as these more sector-based stories about what's happening within the agriculture sector and so forth, what's happening with the urban communities, and so there'll be stories that are also backed by data, and so we have just enormous opportunities to unpack those for the benefit of teachers and their students. And, of course, one of the dilemmas here is that there's no funding at this stage to make that happen. We'll be doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. But maybe down the line that'll change. So in the meantime, why don't we just are there any more
questions? Can I ask one follow-up question, Mark?
Sure.
I really appreciate everything that you've said, and it makes total sense to me. The link that I'm missing is whether each of us as individuals need to go to the National Climate Assessment site and join and all the things that were described earlier, or whether you or Tamara or some key person in the Clean Network is going to forward to all of us that information so that we don't need to each individually go to the National Climate Assessment and join.
Well, no, I don't think
it's just a simple information question.
Right, I think I hate to sort of pass the buck, but I think we need to do both. That each of us individually, if we're interested in, you know, taking full advantage of the National Climate Assessment as a powerful educational opportunity, we need to dig in and mess around in the website and become familiar with it ourselves. And we, you know, some of the key people here on this call and others who couldn't join us, will be doing some of the heavy lifting to try to identify key opportunities. For instance, we've got these people that are lined up to help develop the regional nodes. And so hopefully they'll have the time and wherewithal to be able to dig into those chapters and look through some of those traceable account opportunities.
I get that. When it's announced in May, will you send us all an email?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Karen, maybe I can take a shot at a simple answer. My best current approach is that the Education Affinity Group of the NCA Net, which Mark and Minda and Tamara and others are leading, is the organizational body that you should join and rely on for updates and information, and that would be the way forward. That's my guess.
Right, and
well, and these monthly calls that we're devoting our time to.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And sorry, this is Ilya. So Karen, I'm not sure offhand if any.
I think my question has been answered. I don't think we need to spend any more time on my question if that's what you're getting at, Ilya.
Oh, well, I just wanted to say if your organization is interested in being part of NCANet, then you could write to Emily and she would add you to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some value there because the NCANet is, in effect, a public-private partnership, even if it's not formally set up that way. But it's a way that the federal agencies can interface with these private organizations, whether it's NAAEE or Clean or what have you. So are there any other questions for Emily and Amanda? Okay, so we have a little bit of time left today, and since I guess there's no other questions, why don't we go down towards the bottom of the page, and we have, I've pasted in the notes from the February meeting where we have some ideas that we kind of sketched out in terms of the type of things that we can pull together once the actual report and website are out there. And so starting with stories, we talked about webinars as part of the strategy to get the word out there. And obviously each of the regions have their own partners that we can start to network with. And, I think we've already identified some of those organizations. There are going to be a series of two-pagers. And Emily, can you speak a little bit about the status of those? And how those will be coming out, because I didn't see anything on the description of the website that about where those two pagers are going to be.
This is Ilya. I'm not sure if Emily is still on. So are you talking about the sort of the regional two-page summaries that were on that that set of three slides that Emily went over earlier?
Yeah. Where
there's one for each region?
Yeah, Susan Hassel's been putting together these two-page FAQs, I think they call them. And is it just for the regions, or is it beyond that?
So within this highlights document, which is going to be about 100 pages, it's made up of this sort of compilation of 2 to 4 page sections. There will be one on each region, and then there will be others on different sectors. And on the website, it will be possible to download the whole highlights, but it will also be possible to download just one of those. Say one of those two pagers on Hawaii and the Pacific Islands, or on some other region.
Okay, great. So that's just part of the highlight document that will be made up of a whole series. I'm guessing maybe 30 or 40 of these 2 to 4 pagers.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how many. There will also be one that will be kind of the whole of the overview and report findings, and that's a little longer than 2 to 4 pages.
Right.
But yeah, so it'll all be there as one big chunk, but then also as as the 2 to 4 pages, 4 pagers.
Okay. Good.
One question, maybe the answer to this. We have this key figures and simulations, videos and simulations, and I know of the NASA, multimedia group did some visualizations that back in July. Are those approved to be co-mingled with the National Climate Assessment when a derivative product that wasn't done? Is there any counsel or any guidance on how comfortable you guys are weaving these things together?
Once the NCA3 is released, it's your decision how you want to, how you want to put it together with other resources. Yeah, and I think I know the NASA visualizations that you're talking about that came out earlier this year.
Right, I just added
or last year.
The link. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, you had that before, but I just didn't do it.
I just put it there just to help others.
Yeah, those are very cool. I've seen those before.
Just because there are going to be a series of derivative products that are going to be coming out, and I just wanted to see how comfortable you guys were with all of this. I mean, once it's public, right?
Yeah. I mean, please, use things as makes sense to you and your audiences. The sort of official NCA3 products are the ones that, that Emily went over. Before.
Okay.
That anticipated NCA3 product website. PowerPoint.
Okay. Well, and Frank, I'm really glad you asked that question. This is Bonnie, because that's what I kind of envision, that we would pull in some of our resources, and that may be our way to connect this to education and help teachers see what they can do with students in their classroom by pulling in some of the other resources that we have available. So I'm glad you asked that question.
I see this also in terms of its that we were trying to create a series of little documents that are very much for our own regional or even thematic educators, folks who are in our particular region. I'm in the Northwest, so making sure that this is applicable for folks in Oregon and Washington and Idaho, or folks are, I'll use my other one, interested in the oceans and coasts. So I thought the idea was, pull things out of the NCA report and then supplement it with regional materials that would be particularly useful for teachers or teaching in those areas or in those subject areas. So that's how I've been seeing this. And so this idea of extending beyond the NCA report and elements and components, that was really what we were trying to do here. Is that what everyone else is thinking?
I think that's consistent with our previous discussions. And at one point we talked about using the teacher section of climate.gov as the sort of the mm-hmm. sandbox or place where a lot of this gets pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
That's still feasible, Frank?
I'm working on the page right now.
Okay.
And there's a sister resource, I guess you would call it, which is climate.nasa.gov, which has a lot of visualizations and other teacher tools and things like that. So, yeah, I'm thinking that both of those would be good to connect teachers to.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, as long as Bonnie, you know, is it Randall Jackson, or still the webmaster for climate.nasa.gov?
Yeah.
And Lord.
Yeah, that's the one that's out of JPL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I guess that, and you know, and I mean, wherever educators go to engage in the teaching of climate-related subjects, this page that we're talking about developing could live in multiple places.
Yeah.
There's no reason why mm-hmm. it has to live in one spot only.
Right, yeah. Which would allow for greater points of access, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So one of the ideas that we came up with a couple months ago, was to link to the Next Generation Science Standards, the Common Core, and also the Social Studies Standards. And Minda had a question this morning about whether we feel confident, we as sort of a broad community, feel confident enough about what those Social Studies Standards are. Karen, I think you're the one who's brought this up before. And maybe could you refresh us on the social studies standards, how widely they are used, how confident you are that we can address them?
There are new standards in all the social studies fields that are listed on that Google document that have been released, done by professional organizations and released in the last year, just like the new science standards. And what Don Dugenhaus and I, in a one-on-one discussion last week, concluded is that we need to re-up the suggestion that was bandied about on one of our conference calls back in February of having a session where we have social studies education leaders work with the Clean Network folks that want to be on that call to delve into them. And we have forwarded that suggestion to Tamara in the last week and haven't heard anything back from Tamara. But I think that is the format we should use if people are interested in learning more about that and answering the question you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Just like me saying to you, well, tell me what there is I should know about the NGSS.
Right.
It's not a two-minute question.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If we want to do it, we should devote one of our sessions
yeah.
to that
okay.
topic.
Yeah, no, I think that has a lot of merit.
There are others that agree with that, maybe there needs to be more communication with Tamara to say, yep, let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, she's tied up with Passover right now, but
right.
I think that we can definitely make that happen. And again, I just don't know much about the social studies standards and how widely they're used across the country or who the experts are. So hopefully you and Don can help us identify who those experts are and we can start to network with them.
Yep. And I have contacted them, and they're interested. So it's not a matter of needing to dig for people. It's a matter of scheduling it at a time when they can participate in one of our Tuesday calls and we can proceed.
Well, I mean, maybe we have a call next month on May 20th. That'll be after the release of NCA, and if any of them are interested in just kind of becoming socialized a bit with our discussions, you know, it may be premature for them to give a full-blown presentation, but maybe they could join the call, and that would help them get a sense of who we are and what we're up to.
Karen, this is Scott. If you want to send names, emails, whatever, for those folks that you've been talking about with the social science standards, I can certainly contact them about scheduling a session, and I'll certainly talk to Tamara next week about this, too. So we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Just one point here.
Maybe make sure that we'll just invite them directly.
Just one sub point here is that with education, you know, our targets are much further out than the targets that the more media focused, outreach focused activities for the rollout are. You know, we have a more sustained engagement in reality, and this is my perspective, the target we have for the formal education is more like the fall and maybe late summer, not so much, you know, early May. That's actually a terrible time for formal education because, you know, teachers are winding down the year. That's what we're doing at that point in time. And so adding something new is a kind of a clouded space.
Right.
If you got to follow where I'm going.
Yeah. We're in
just
this
so you know who these social studies education leaders are, just like with the national, the next generation science standards, the leaders in the social studies education community are not classroom teachers, but they're people who work with classroom teachers. Primarily at universities, who have come, their professional experience was in the classroom. Then they moved on to higher education, and that's the level from which they're influencing the national agenda for the standards for the social studies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. And I'm looking at the document. I'll link this to our notes here today, but on your website, there's a link to the National Civics and Government Standards, which were developed by a group here in California. Okay, so
Karen,
we're almost out of time here this morning. Any other last thoughts here?
Just a quick question. Would we also extend to geoscience education, like National Geographic and geoeducation, as well as science? And environmental and social studies? Is there a reason for the unique, we're thinking all communities, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not just STEM and Common Core.
The head of the professional organization for geography education is somebody that we worked with in Polka, and she's very interested in collaborating with others.
Great.
Absolutely.
The geography standards are up three lines above where whoever just typed it in.
Good.
Okay, good.
Well, it's the top of the hour, and I think we should wrap for this month at least in terms of this joint call on the NCA assessment. And by the time we reconvene in a month, we hope it's out. So we'll have comments, I'm sure, about how that looks for us as educators. And just to wrap up, I just want to let people know that we have a presentation next week with Catherine Halverson from the Lawrence Hall of Science at UC Berkeley, and she's going to be talking about the ocean science sequence that they've developed for middle school 6 to 8. There's a strong climate component to this particular curriculum, and so Catherine's going to talk about this next week. So I hope you all can join us for that, or at least some of you. Very good. Any
hey, Scott,
final
got one quick.
Absolutely, Frank.
One quick plug for that is that they sell this. I don't mean sell it, but the emphasis on that thing next week. it's the first unit developed specifically off the NRC framework that relates to the climate. And I would highly encourage us to plug in.
Yes.
Great.
And Catherine was central to the development of that. Her and Emily Wise is the other person. So it should be very good. Excellent.
All right.
Well, many of you can join us next week. And thanks to Mark and Emily and who else? Ilya? I'm trying to think of everyone who was able to sound in around all this. So this is great. Thank you all.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Great. Very good. Bye now. Talk to you next week. Talk to you. Yep.
button. I just have to put my shoes.
Your mind is what?
Active.
Oh, yeah.
Frustration.
Oh.
Pointed out stuff.
Your shoes are
tight.
How about if those were the letters R and then you have okay.
And you know what might I have done differently as a parent?
we haven't crucified you yet. Have we? Okay, that's good. That's because you live with us. It's harder. It is harder with those you are with.
I think we do. I think this works out.
doesn't mean it's all anybody wants it to be. Part of it just gets through every day. You know that talking and listening and participation in conversation is really key to being human. You know that when you talk with your kids, you have to listen to what they have to say to you, whether you give a damn about it or not.
Yep.
And you're cut off. Jeffrey has not been communicative about any kind of reflection on communication or not. They will have. And there's times where she, you know, you talk with her about climate change and you want her to really get climate change and she's got to do something with that. And then she'll try and talk with you about what she's interested in and you cut her off. And so if you wonder why she doesn't call you as much, that's why. But it is clear to me that I'm not all you wish I would be either in listening to you or in drawing you out in the way you need. Women are supposed to be the crowbars. Why am I not crowbarring you more? And when you're mad at me, you dump on me about all you have to listen to about myths. I try not to talk to you about myths because you've done that to me two or three times. I don't care if I ever talk to you about myths. It doesn't matter to me if I talk to you about myths. So if you don't want to hear about myths, don't ask. So, yeah, we're not totally good at this whole thing yet. And we have been shot. Well, yeah, and isn't that terrifying? You want to go again? I don't know what you're...
No, please.
Okay. I mean, I really love wishes that we walk. And we don't solve a damn thing with
walk,
but it is good to walk. I know it is good to walk for both of us.
Well, a lot of times.
It's just to be together. Well, it isn't even just to be heard. It's just to be together. It's to be together out there, walking. Here's what you really, really need to know that I think you know now and then, but you probably don't really get it. We forget things. You don't. For better and for worse. Lucky you. You have all this memory of everything. But it comes up and kills you now and then. Something bad happens, and oh my God, it brings up this whole volcano of all this stuff you're mad and angry about from whatever. And either we're dumber, or it's just the way our systems work, but we can't remember everything because we move on.
Yeah.
And we cannot hold all of that. We cannot hold all the emotional pissed offness, and we cannot hold the conceptual details. Okay? We can hold the connections and the bigger picture. Our strengths are our empathy. We get that empathy. We do it. And we do it naturally.
What I have to say is about trying to solve
problems. Oh, your problems are big enough for me not to solve them. You're right. I have insights about some of the four. I certainly don't have insights into all of them. If you want someone who's really insightful, who I send you to is Martha Zuber. She gets us. It's our family. It's how we communicate and how we don't communicate. And if you wanted a really loving person to listen to you a lot, you should the hell go pay her to listen to you, because she'd be great. Now, folks like us are no longer her focus. And I don't think Dr. Rose is near it.
Oh, no. Had experience divided.
She was the right mix for all of that. She was the right mix out of that whole mess of drinks and diagnostics and social workers. She's the one who could get us and love us and make all of us feel better about being human. And all the rest, everybody else was torturing us. And it's just really nice not to be there. I'm glad not to have to live with all those people now. And I'm glad not to listen to all their engines. And I'm glad not to be with all of them driving too fast on 128 and each of them thinking their little world is more important than everybody else's.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very important in my life to do something I love that makes me happy. And that's walking. That's listening to people. That's listening to that. And that's when I'm in touch with the simple in me, the natural in me. And that's my gift to God. Because that goes beyond all this human bullshit. It is not easy to hear. On the other hand, I don't think it was really easy to hear this week either. I'm really sorry that all those buttons got hit. I do want you to know, when I was with Darren, I saw somebody pulled over, and I actually thought about you, and I thought, oh my God, this it drives us nuts. And yeah, the police are not always our friends. In fact, we seem to annoy them. Hey, Jean, did you ever see The Perfect Mind with me? I don't think he was a janitor. Let me say something, because I talk too much.
Well?
Did you reach the point last night where your breathing was off and you were anxious and you're running back and forth trying to get everything done and you're under so much pressure? That worries me. I'm not saying don't do it. but I'm saying it worries me because, so what if you didn't finish Vernon Mall? I still love you. Your family still loves you. You still have a roof over your head. The only person you have failed is yourself. Okay? And if you have a heart attack over all of this, that's a real problem. Well, I don't think it's just the family. It means all your work stops. Yeah. Yeah. So it's about knowing that you're doing good enough. It's not about doing it perfect. And I don't even know how to talk with you about that. Because I've never tried to control you that way. Well, yeah. Well, that whole biking thing and that whole, you know, I don't try to... You don't make all the same judgment calls I do. You don't agree on all that. I'm trying to move us towards some agreement so I can inspire and so that we can live under the same roof without totally tipping each other up. But we don't agree on everything. We have to reach some kind of compact. And I certainly don't want you controlling me either. But nonetheless, we do have to work this thing out somehow that we're under this. Are you okay? Do you still have all of this stuff? Where are you? Do you have any relief?
I rarely talk to you about what's happening.
Yeah.
And when I listen to it more, I'm like, all that.
Not emotionally run sexual. They live with the mind. They did not. This does not mean they didn't have heart. But their heart was pretty intellectual mind. It wasn't the head. You know, I asked her about all of how do you think that's going to work? And I never asked. I don't know.
the most incredible teacher ever told me was, I had to learn how to do cross with that was precious. And one of the most incredible things she ever said to me was, that phone number will be easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her mother. She came to be with us when we went to Maine and the snow was a foot deep. She was with us. She was with us. She came and made cookies with the kids. She knew to bring, she was amazing. And she brought her own ingredients, so all she had to add was liquid. The rest was all mixed together, and then she could create something the kids would love. Jeffrey embarrassed the hell out of me because he didn't like the gray and turquoise sweater that she submitted. And he kind of was. And she said, no, it's all right. And I'm not sure if it was all right or not. You know, sometimes you got to learn to lie.
Yes, like that. Yeah.
I think I remember asking you if a little lady asked you, do you like my hat? You think that she really means it. She doesn't. She wants you to say, it's great. Or she's looking for strokes. What she needs. She doesn't need you to tell her it sucks on you. They asked you that? Fascinating. Two women tackled you with that question at the same time?
Yeah.
I bet you told them. Can I make a prediction? Look me in the eye and smile.
For starters, that's me.
Long hair, preferably red. And
hair on your forehead.
Hair, yeah.
Don't pull it back.
Don't pull it back.
The makeup are the better.
And then the makeup. I was thinking the makeup.
Maybe I told them don't wear metal in your face.
What did they say when you told them?
The third one when I was there, semi with what about rated wearing my feeling was, you know, women, a lot of women, especially in social situations like cancer, try to look good.
Yeah.
And my feeling is a lot of them are thinking this will be if you look good, and maybe it have the opposite effect. We're probably different.
Okay,
I think most women don't ask men that. When they do, they want an honest, not an honest. You look good. And they're manipulated by the fashion industry. Or maybe what good looks good to other ones. Maybe not.
Walking with you in the rain is much better. Just so you know. Oh,